I am honored to be here. It's a thrill. I have enjoyed the good humor. It's a blessing. I appreciate people who can enjoy one another and have a good time in the Lord. Thank you for just letting me be a part of it. God has been so good to us. I'm grateful that He does hear our voice. I love that verse over in Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. I cling to that verse many times in my life. I have another one that helps me too. You remember when they came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and the man met him with the son possessed and Jesus said, all things are possible if thou believe. I like what Daddy said at that point. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And I cling to that verse many times because I'm weak. My flesh is weak, and I thank God for His blessings and help and encouragement. And He uses preachers and Christians and churches to do that in our lives, and I'm grateful for it. And I struggle. So many wonderful, wonderful things and truths we've already heard this evening, today, yesterday. What a blessing. We are honored to be able to feast upon the Word of God. Amen. We are honored to be able to walk in this room tonight and open this precious old book, and we're not concerned that somebody might come in. They might try to steal any money if they thought we had it. They might try to steal the weapons, but there ain't many of them even interested in this old book. And we get to hold it in our hand and read it and consume it and study it day in and day out. And God help us, because too many times I take it for granted. We are blessed. One of the things about I look at Baptist history. I love to read and study it. And one of the things that I look at is the Sandy Creek Revival. And one of the things that helped the Sandy Creek Revival, got to understand, this is about 1770, 1765 in that era. King James Bible had only been published 150 years. Printing press hadn't existed long. People didn't have a bunch of books. It was rare in previous time of history to hold a Bible. It was against the law under Catholicism. And here in the colonies, they had this precious book and they would read it. Of course, Jubal Stearns got a letter that said, a man will ride a day's horseback journey to hear one sermon preached. And so I look at that and try to learn from it. We've got a precious Bible. Many things going through my mind. I was thinking about that translate a little bit. If I could say, I was thinking about what Brother Orlando was saying there and about how we're translated. And when he's talking about translated to heaven, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you're talking about what most people are thinking about. Right. Most people are thinking about graduating to glory. They might. Hey, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, we are seated together. By the way, who's he writing to? He is writing to the church at Ephesus. Amen. The London Baptist 1641 Confession said that is written to a church. Not that that makes it right, but you go through and you study it. It's written to saints. Yeah. A saint must be sanctified, set apart. How can you be a saint and be disobedient to God in church membership?
That's right.
We say over and over and over that baptism is the first step of obedience. How can we be a saint and disobey the first step? It's impossible. And so that is written to the church at Ephesus. And he said, we are seated together, not will be one day down the road, not going to happen, just keep looking for it. But right then, back about 2,000 years ago in Paul's day, they were seated in heavenly places. So when he said translated to heaven, that's what he's talking about. It lets a person see it in not the building, but in the body of a local visible New Testament church, and they become a part of that body. And when they come together, that is a heavenly place. I tell this story. I was going to tell it at the end. Well, maybe I'll just end with it. I don't know. But anyway, good to meet you, brother. I am terrible with just good old Southern names, and now you got this accent and all, and I love to hear it, but I just can't say it. And so I forgot your name, but he knows our oldest daughter and son-in-law. When their third child was born, his name's Riley. My wife and I went to Mexico. They were in Puebla, Mexico. And Riley, we were supposed to be there for his birth, but there were some medical problems. He was born the day before we flew in. And when we got to the hospital, we found out that our daughter had a rare medical condition where her heart was double its normal size. It's associated with pregnancies at times. It's a rare condition, but she had it. The doctor had called our son-in-law into a room and said, "You need to get her back to the States." He had done all kinds of research. He had books laid out there. He explained it to him. "You need to get her back to the States to get medical help." We're in Pueblo, Mexico, 2 hours drive outside of Mexico City. Now Riley, Dana's born in North Carolina. Timothy's an American citizen as well, her husband. They're Americans. He is the son of American citizens, U.S. citizens. But before they could get on that plane and fly from Mexico City to the United States, Riley had to have a birth certificate and a passport. We had to drive to Mexico City and go in the U.S. Embassy. Now, when you read over there, and I believe it's in Corinthians, he says we are ambassadors together. An ambassador works in an embassy. I just love this story. It just lights my fire. Don't take much light my fire. You already know that. But anyway, this one does. And so we go there. Now, I'm down in Mexico, and I already told you what trouble I have. Now, I do have, I took French in high school, liked to fail it, but I did take it. And there's a lot of similarities in those words. And don't ask me anything, but anyway, there's some similarity. And so I'm looking at signs, and I look at the building, and I begin to associate the words, and I got to where I could read it. And as a matter of fact, the last day I was down there, I went with my son-in-law in a Christian bookstore, and I picked up a little kid's video, and I flipped it over to the back, and I read it to him in English, just missed a couple words. I can't do it now. That was after about a week in Mexico. But here's what I'm trying to say. I'm walking around down there and they're speaking all that stuff. Some of you done it around here, and I just look at you and go, "Y'all done yet?" Because I don't have a clue what you said. All right? And you say, "Well, we can talk about you. Don't mess with me. I'll start talking in a real Southern dialect and we'll see where y'all end up before long. You won't know what word I'd be talking about." You'd be thinking you need an interpreter. Now you really gonna be near one when I get done. So anyway, we went to Mexico City. They're speaking this, you know, Spanish, and I'm walking along just doing what I'm told. Now, I say this. I couldn't even carry fingernail clippers in there. Literally. We had to go through gates and security and be scanned, and I literally, they could not carry a bottle in for Riley. Couple days old, few days old, couldn't carry a bottle in for it. But when we got past all the security, all of a sudden, they were speaking English and the signs was in English and I felt like I was home again. Amen. That's what it's like to come into a church when you've been saved and baptized and you're in that embassy and you're seated together in heavenly places. Amen. I understood. They had a picture of the president up on the wall. I could read his name. I could sit there and understand what they were saying. They were speaking my language. And that's the way it ought to be in a true church. Can I read you a story? Do you carry Theodosia Ernest? All right. I believe this is in it. I won't probably read it all because it's several pages long. you'll get the gist of it. There was a very intelligent and conscientious Welshman who came to this country some years ago. He had an Irish friend who, like himself, was legally an alien, though long a resident among our people. Just before the last presidential election, now this is going to have double application in our society today. This was written over 100 years ago. This was written by A.C. Dayton. A.C. Dayton was a contemporary of J.R. Graves. He was a very big proponent of the landmark movement. All right, where was I at? Just before the last presidential election, they both felt that it was a duty which they owed to themselves and the country to become legally and formally true citizens of the Republic so that they might enjoy the privileges and perform the duties of citizens. They found the laws concerning naturalization and read that before they could be vested with privilege of citizenship, they must take the oath of allegiance. This the Welshman was very willing to do. His friend read it over to him, and with his hand upon the Bible, he swore all that it required. The Irishman gave him a certificate stating that he had done so. With this, he proceeded to the polls and presented his vote. "Are you a native of this country?" asked the judge of elections. "No, sir, I was born in Wales." "Have you been naturalized?" "Certainly, Your Honor. Here is the certificate signed by my friend, Patrick O'Donnelly, a man that loves this country as well as if he had born in it." But the certificate does not show that Patrick was an officer authorized according to the law to administer the oath and receive you as a citizen. "Oh, well, so that's Your Honor. Patrick is more a citizen than I am myself. But we both love the country and are ready to spill our blood for it." But the law does not recognize the official acts of one not a citizen. Patrick cannot stand outside the pale of citizenship and push you in. You should have gone to a magistrate duly appointed by the government. No one else has an authority to make you a citizen. "True enough, Your Honor. But then how was I to know all that?" "My concern was only with what I had to do. My part of the business was to take the oath. I could not be expected to inquire into the duties of magistrates. If Patrick has done wrong in administering the oath when he had no right to, he is accountable to the government for himself. I have done my duty. I have taken the oath and mean to keep it." But the oath given by a foreigner and without authority is, in view of the law, no oath at all. Amen. "We know nothing about Patrick O'Donnelly. Depart from me. I never knew you." Yeah. Some of you weren't here, but you go study that. They said, "Lord, Lord." 1 Corinthians 12:3, "No man can call him Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Now, lost people say, "Lord, Lord." Where was I at? We know nothing about Patrick O'Donnelly. He is not even a citizen. He has never himself taken the oath he administered to you. We cannot entrust a right of making citizens to those who are not citizens themselves and have no shadow of authority from the government. If you wish to vote, you must be naturalized according to the law. "Well, Your Honor, but this is very hard. Patrick told me he could read the oath as well as a native, and so he did. I am sure I swore the very words. If I should do it 50 times over before a magistrate, it would be a mere repetition of an act without a moral effect. I would be no more bound than I feel myself to be now.
If Patrick had no right to give me the certificate, that is his matter, not mine. I hope your honor will not hold me responsible for another man's sins. I took the oath. That is all that I had to do. But you forget, my friend, that the same authority which required you to take the oath appointed proper persons to administer it. No doubt you love this country and really meant to become a citizen. And though you had done so, but it was your misfortune not to know that a foreigner cannot lawfully make another a citizen of this country so long as he himself refuses to be made one, nor even afterwards unless specifically authorized by the government. I've not got to the end of page one, and it's about 5 pages long. So if you get the Theodosia Urnius, you got a bunch of customers. Everybody most likely in here will apply that to our nation. But that is obviously written by a man of God as an allegory applicable to the kingdom of heaven. It's important that we look into and know. Paul said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest ordain elders in every city." Now, can I say something? I know there's already been some discussion, and I agree wholeheartedly with Brother Orlando. Let's gather under the table, ask me some questions, stump me. That's not a challenge, by the way. That's not an arrogant challenge. That's iron sharpening iron. This is a place preachers can sit down and say, "Well, wait a minute, let's go get our Bibles." We have done that in these meetings that we have around the country and sat under those tents like that at tables, opening the Word of God at 10:30, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, looking at what thus saith the Lord, not because we don't have anything else to do, but because we don't want to be the Welshman when I stand before God and say, "I did my best and you ought to receive that," but we want to know that we have strove, as Paul said, strive lawfully.
Amen.
Lawfully. It's very, 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 very important. As a matter of fact, Brother Orlando was referring to it a while ago. I have said it over and over. I believe with all my heart, as much as I know I'm saved, that a true New Testament church has a power that this world does not know about, Christianity does not have, and you and I as individuals do not possess, except we be a member of a church.
Amen.
Brother Henson, you're getting off on a few things. No, my friend, we need to get back in the book. It's very, very, very important that we see that. We spoke about authority several times already. It's been mentioned. It's one of those things that God ingrained on my heart some years ago before I understood church and kingdom. Authority. Authority. The Bible says that we are to basically spank our children that they wouldn't go to hell. Y'all know that verse, right? Over there in Proverbs. Now, just because you give them a whooping, are they saved? No, what you're doing is teaching them the consequences of disobedience.
Amen.
And obedience to authority. And so we do that. And it's important that we recognize authority. Do you remember over there, we've already been in John 1 and several places all over. And it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I love it. I appreciate you going back through John 3. I asked Brother Potter if he'd email me his notes so I can plagiarize them. No. But I do want them. Yeah, it's in the book. It's in the book. I do want them. But over there in John, you go down further. It says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness. But you go down a little bit further, and there was some folks that were sent to ask him. Now get this. In my mind, I grew up going to church. I can't ever remember not going to church. I grew up going to, if you come to my house and please come. We invite any and every one of you in October to our camp meeting. If you can't come, then come some other time. I'll take you to Sandy Creek on a personal tour. And wherever else you want to go around there that we can, we'll try to get some time and let you see some things where God's done some things in the past. It just challenge your heart. It'll encourage you. It'll strengthen you. I promise you that. But we'd love to have you come. But anyway, if you do come and you're in my house or in our yard, if you look to the west, you'll look at the back of a Southern Baptist church building. I grew up going to that church. My daddy's buried in the graveyard. My grandma and grandpa are buried in the graveyard. I know most of the people over there. I grew up going to church, but in my mind, I didn't understand a whole lot of things. And so this thing of authority is very, very, very important. I had the idea that John showed up and started dunking people, and nobody had ever been dunked before. But as I find out, in the Old Testament, the Jews had a similar thing. It had to be administered by a priest. The priest became a priest by bloodline succession. Who was John's dad? Zacharias, a priest. You see, I know, as I've already said, that God said in the Old Testament that he was coming. Malachi prophesies it. But we see that God still does everything in order. He's a God of order. And so I had the idea that John just showed up and started baptizing. But you'll notice when you read there in John 1, they didn't come and go, "What in the world are you doing?" They said, "By what authority?" You'll find over there in Matthew chapter 21 that they came to Jesus with the same question. "By what authority doest thou these things?" And Jesus said, "I'll ask you a question. If you answer my question, I'll answer your question." And he said, "The baptism of John, whence was it? Of heaven or of men?" I'm not trying to talk about people and put anybody down, but I could just, it just, every time I think about that, I remember somebody telling me that Jesus just threw that in there to stump them. Just to kind of, it really didn't have meaning. Hold on, friend. Let's go to Matthew 21. I thought we was going somewhere else. Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21. You'll see there, Jesus has just rode in on into Jerusalem. This is near the end of the ministry. He gets up the next morning. He sees the fig tree. There's no fruit. He curses it, dies. They're amazed. And he talks about their faith. You get down in verse 23. When he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority doest thou these things?" And remember what we said? Two ways to get authority? Two ways. Somebody gives it to you who has it, or you rebel and take it. By the way, young man, let me tell you something. I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. Some people even wonder if I'm turned on. But before I married that woman that I celebrated 35 years with this past February, I called her daddy and said, "Can I marry your daughter?"
Come on, brother, come on.
Why? Because he was her authority.
Right.
I requested permission to obtain that authority. He gave me permission. Hallelujah. I did a lot of things wrong. I messed a lot of things up. But by the grace of God, I got that one right. The only way you get authority is somebody who has it, delegates it to you. Are you rebelling? Take it. Let me tell you something, young men, young ladies. Don't ever run off. I realize that parents can mess up. You better make sure you run down every possible road in the Bible and try it every way in the world to get the will of God in this thing before you do anything crazy like that. You'll live the rest of your life under that decision. It's important. There's a law in the Bible called the law of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. When you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap it. There's three principles of the law of sowing and reaping. Number one, you reap after you sowed. Number two, you reap what you sowed. And number three, you reap more than you sowed. Get a little personal. We've got grown children. I want to see their lives different than what they are right now. Amen. But I've looked at them eyeball to eyeball, some of them, and I've told them, I'm reaping in you what I sowed. Yeah. However, you will reap what you're sowing. Mark it down. God's law will not fail. You will reap what you sow. My wife jokingly tells the story of one of our children that has more than once asked, Mom, is there some way I can break the curse because my daughter acts to me just like I acted to you?
Amen.
Reaching a little hometown, ain't we?
Come on, bro.
Authority is God's plan. And when we cross it, we're rebellious. And rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft.
Right.
And Saul lost the kingdom because of rebellion.
Right.
You can believe what you want to, but I believe Saul saved man. Bible says that God gave him a new heart. And if God saved him one time, he's saved for all eternity. But in his rebellion, he lost the kingdom. It is very, 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 very important that we strive lawfully. If you're going to run the race before you can get the crown, you must have run lawfully. Matthew chapter 16. Hold on, I'm not done with Matthew 21. Matthew 21, he said, of what authority? Jesus answered in verse 24 and said unto them, I also will ask you. By the way, I preach this. How many times have you heard me preach out of Matthew 21? You can't even begin to count it, can you? Literally, this is not a joke. Am I telling the truth? Am I telling the truth? Those are my children. They don't even have a clue how many times I've gone to this chapter. I don't either. But I had somebody near and dear to me tell me, I'm preaching confusion. Just walk right through it. He says what he says. They ask him, where'd you get your authority? They're talking to Jesus. Jesus said, all right, I'm going to tell you, but first, you got to answer my question. And here's my question. My question is, verse 25, the baptism of John, which was it, from heaven or of men? And you know the story. They started talking to each other, said, hey, if we say it's of heaven, he'll say, why didn't you believe him? If we say it's of men, the people may stone us. They think he's a prophet. I know what we'll do. We'll lie and say we don't know. And that's what they did.
That's right.
Jesus didn't just throw this in here for any old thing, because you'll find he refers to the baptism of John just a couple verses later. There's a flow of context here. Remember what we said about faith? Roman centurion? Faith in action is submission to biblical authority. We're dealing with faith. Did Jesus know? You remember that? Now, understand, Jesus rode in on a donkey. Next day he goes in, fig tree's there, no fruit, curses it, it withers up. The disciples marvel. He talked to them about great faith. Did he know? This is Jesus. Did he know that they were going to come and ask him the question? That's not a trick question, folks. Are y'all awake? This is God in the flesh. Did he know they were going to ask him the question? Somebody rattle like this and help me a little bit, would you?
Absolutely.
All right, thank you. I'm trying to tell you that he's doing multiple things at one time. He's teaching faith to the disciples. He's dealing with the Pharisees, and he's teaching principle. And so he says, neither will I tell you. And then he gives them a parable. He said, a certain man had two sons. He said, go do this. He said, I'm not going to do it. He told the second one, he said, I'm going to do it. One of them said, I'm not going to do it, went and did it. The other one that said, I'm going to do it, never did it. He said, which one was right? And they said, the one that did it. He said, that's right. Now let's look. Verse number 31. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you. What? Look at this. Hold on. Wait a minute. Kingdom's going to be when Jesus comes back, right? What does it say? The publicans and the harlots in 2,000 years are going to get in the kingdom for you guys. Come on, you got your Bibles open? You with me? Just what does it say anything like that?
No.
Is that present tense, past tense, or future tense? The publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom before you. And then you read the next verse. Again, he didn't say they're going to go into it in the millennial reign. He said right then, almost 2,000 years ago, wicked, immoral people were being saved and baptized into the kingdom. Brother Henson, it didn't say anything about baptizing the kingdom. Hang on, if God lets me go a little bit further, and I know it's going to 10 to 9, and that ice cream is still in the freezer, it ain't going to melt, so relax. Hallelujah. So he says there, for John came into you in way of righteousness. Way of righteousness? Matthew chapter 3. Jesus comes. John says, I have need to be baptized of thee. Jesus said, suffer it to be so to fulfill all.
Amen.
What?
Amen.
Righteousness. What? You cannot have righteousness before God. I realize there is imputed righteousness in salvation, but this is not talking about imputed righteousness because every one of us say that we are not saved by baptism, but nevertheless, baptism is required for righteousness before God. Come on now, y'all all right? Am I off track? Did I say something the Bible didn't say? Jesus said, suffer it to be so to fulfill all righteousness. By the way, Hebrews chapter 1, the scepter of his kingdom is a scepter of
righteousness.
Scepter of his. You remember, what's her name over there in the Old Testament? Mordecai's. Niece, huh? Esther. Remember Esther? They said, hey, you got to go talk to the king. We're about to be slaughtered. She said, he ain't called for me. And when you study that, you find out that if she went before the king, when she wasn't called for, and he didn't hold out the scepter, she would have been killed though she were the queen.
Yep.
The scepter of his kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. And he said baptism was needed to fulfill all righteousness.
Amen.
Keep reading in this verse. Where are we at here? For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe. Repentance before faith must happen in that order. God is a God of order. He never does anything out of order.
Amen.
Never. He didn't create the world out of order. He did it in order. On day one, he did this. On day two, he did this. On day three, he did this. And later on, he made some cows. I like that. So why you like that? I like T-bones and ribeyes and ice cream. You got to have cows for all three. Hey, amen. Somebody say amen right there. Where's my buddy at? Say amen right there. Yeah, he's got it. Now let me ask you a question. What if he made cows on day two? Was there any land to walk on? You ever seen any gills on a cow? They don't swim long at all. I'm just telling you. I've seen a few. They ain't too good at that. Certainly not for 24 hours. In other words, a cow on day two is out of order, and that's death. Faith before repentance is no faith at all.
That's right.
It's got to be in order. It's got to be in order. Say, hey, you're on that again. Is that the only thing you preach? Pretty much. Pretty much. You say, why is that the only thing you preach? Because people are lost and dying and going to hell.
Yeah.
We say, but you're in a church. I know, that's where a lot of them are.
Oh, man. That's right.
I didn't plan to preach this tonight. I'm trying to get to where I was going. But it's important that you understand that when you go out there and you see that heroin addict and you get one of them to sober enough to listen to you, you're going to have to explain to them how to be saved. Oh, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot believe until they repent.
Amen.
It's crucial. It's crucial. Oh, that's a work. Peradventure, the goodness of God granteth thee repentance.
Amen. Amen.
That you may believe to the acknowledging of the truth. Right. Repentance is a gift from God, and it's offered to every soul that's ever breathed and ever will. It's a gift. It's a gift. So is faith. Brother Hinson, why are you on this? Because I can't get off of it. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. If nothing else, I just like it. Hey, man. Where's my buddy? Amen right there. Thank you. Will you help them out? They're getting a little slack, all right? I don't preach for amens, guys. We're just having a little fun there, okay? But you do understand. Have you seen the principles here? Brother Henson, I was put in the kingdom when I was saved. Matthew chapter 16. So many times, people get up and they preach, and man, they'll get amens where I'm at. You know, they swing and holler. By the way, somebody was running the aisles here the other night. I saw it. I touched my wife. I said, honey, they running the aisles here. Y'all didn't see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was having a good time, too. She wasn't about this tall, but she was having a good time. Pew! And then she got caught. Anyway, please, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I liked it.
Amen.
I liked it. So where I'm coming from, they like get excited about stuff, you know, and they'll say, it's not about you. It's all about him. And then they preach all about you. Mm-hmm. By the way, we were talking about, brother, how you said you went to two camp meetings. I got to ask this question. The other preachers want to know too. You went to two where they preached doctrine. How many do you think you went to all year? 20, 30? At least 10? So at best, 20% preach a little doctrine. At best, 20%. The rest of the time, it's hey, you know what I sat in fundamental churches for a little while and I listened, I figured out I only got one sermon. They got two. You say, Brother Henson, we know you only got one. We done heard it 47 times. I realize that. But they actually do have two. Number one, you need to be saved. And number two, you can do it. I figured out I could preach both of those real easy. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then I'm going to give out the book, The Little Train That Could. Come on now, you can do it. You can make it. Bless God. God's got you. God loves you. He'll take care of you. Let me tell you what he done for me. Oh, he cares. It's his kingdom. When God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost had the board meeting in eternity past, before there was ever an earth, and they said, we're going to do this, and they were all in unity and never disagreed. They never have and never will. That's God. And in that plan, they didn't just plan for the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world to pay for your sins, but they planned that once we and humanity messed up creation with sin, that they were going to bring back for those who would repent, believe, and do it lawfully to rule and reign with Him in a kingdom like He really wanted. That's what He planned in eternity past. And when He planned it, He did it. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? You know with the verses there. They said that some say that thou art this and some say thou art that. He said, but whom say ye that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give unto thee the keys. We've had the privilege of staying with your pastor and his family. And for 2 days in a row, I've walked out of the house, Mama and I being the last ones leaving, and left something in the house after we shut that locked door. So you went back in and get it? No. I didn't have a key. Key is access. Authority. Now let me give you this right fast, and I'm going to try to wrap this up in the next 25, 30, 45 minutes. Peter said, thou art the Christ. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Simon Bar-Jonah's official name, like my Bobby Dwayne Henson Jr., that's my name. This is his official name, if you will. He's dealing with Peter one-on-one. By the way, you see the milk of the Word, the doctrine of Christ right here. You see right there how he's saved by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That has happened already, but it's a testimony of it. You see it there when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Salvation is an individual thing. The first two principles of the doctrine of Christ is God dealing with you one-on-one on an individual basis. But the next thing he says, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter. What happened to Simon Bar-Jonah? It went from an individual focus for salvation to get in obscurity because I'm about to work out my plan. There's the next two principles, baptism and laying on of hands. And I will build my church. Yep. And then he says, kingdom. There's the last two principles. Resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. I realize the kingdom's right here now. I understand all that. But you understand there's a coming millennial reign. And what we do now in the existing visible kingdom will determine where we're at in the coming millennial reign.
That's right. Amen.
This is the thing. I only had one point tonight and we're about to get it. What is it? If kingdom is salvation, then you better go find Peter. Because he's got the keys. Not only did he give him the keys, but he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I got a question for you tonight. Who in here thinks you got an authority to bind something in heaven? As an individual. Anybody? No. You go over to Matthew 18, you see those words again. Amen. He's telling the church, you've got authority. If the kingdom of heaven is salvation, then churches decide whether or not you're saved. Yeah. That's what the Catholics believe. They got it with some truth mixed with error. But the reality is, the kingdom of heaven cannot be salvation on that passage alone. I don't see that, Brother Hanson. It's okay. When Obadiah Holmes, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, this picture came from the movie As With Roses. Am I right about that? That's that Brother Avery Smith. He played Obadiah Holmes in As With Roses. If you ain't seen that, you need to get a copy of it. It was telling the story when Obadiah Holmes was beaten with 30 lashes. After he was beaten, there was a man by the name of Henry Dunster, and he began to study his Bible. Henry Dunster was the first president of Harvard. And Henry Dunster began to study his Bible. Now, he got permission. It came his turn or whatever it was, and he preached one Sunday in the Anglican church, and he preached against infant baptism. That didn't go over too good. Matter of fact, he got booted out. Well, he resigned because they were going to boot him out as president. They took his belongings. He's buried somewhere on the campus without even a grave marker. First president of Harvard. For the next 13 weeks, the Anglican priest, you know, the Puritans, those good guys, those pure. Gag a maggot. For the next 13 weeks, he preached on infant baptism, but history records the seeds had been sown. You may go home tonight and go, that man's out of his mind. He's crazy. But show me kingdom of heaven salvation in Matthew 16.
Right.
And if it's not, then what is it? Well, preacher, I'm saved. I repented and believed. Praise God. I'm immersed. Who dunked you?
Come on.
I traveled in evangelism for 8 years. I can count on one hand and take three fingers off how many times I was asked about my ordination. Paul said, for this cause left I the decree that thou shouldest ordain elders in every city. If it doesn't matter, why ordain them?
Come on. That's right.
If it doesn't matter, why ordain them? I mean, Josh, you and I can just go out and dunk one another and we'll be all right. And I'll appreciate you too. Is it not true? By the way, if you never read it, you're to get the book. I don't know if you carry it or have carried it, the First Baptist Church in America by Grays and Adlam. You ought to get that book and read it. You can read about the beating of Obadiah Holmes. You can read about why Roger Williams didn't start the First Baptist Church in America.
Good.
Without succession, how do you have biblical authority? Without biblical authority, how do you have baptism? Without baptism, how do you have righteousness? And how are you in the kingdom? I was saved. Matthew 16. Brother Hanson, most of the people in this building are members of churches that believe that. I know. But you're going to talk to your families and your friends. And most of them are going to look at you cross-eyed. But if you can get one more to see the truth. Nobody had a problem a while ago, as far as I could tell, when I said, let me just make this statement. D.L. Moody was told, the world hath not seen what one man sold out to God can do. wrong statement. God does not get glory in D.L. Moody throughout all ages world without him in. And God does not get glory in Dwayne Henson throughout all ages world without him in. God gets glory in his church. The statement should be, the world needs to see what churches that are sold out to God can do.
Amen.
But churches must be made of biblically baptized, saved people to have the power.
Amen.
Preacher, I got to hush. Please, sir, I don't mean to tell you what to do.